गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी य राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय 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 ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन महाराज की जय श्री प्रभुपास इसकॉन न्यू द्वारका धाम की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बो ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज 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 ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्योत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 3, chapter number 12, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others, text number 29. Tam adharme kritamatim vilokya pitaram sutaha marichi mukhya munayo विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तम् अधर्मे कृतमतिम् विलोक्य पितरं सुतः मरीचिमुख्यामुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तम् अधर्मे कृतमतिम् विलोक्य पितरं सुताः मरीचिमुख्यामुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तमधर्मे कृतमतिम् विलोक्य पितरं सुताः मरीचि मुख्या मुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तम धर्मे कृतमतिम् विलोक्यं पितरं सुतः मरीचिमुख्यामुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तम धर्मे कृतमतिम् विलोक्य पितरं सुताः मरीचि मुख्या मुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोध तमधर्मे कृतमतिम् पितरं सुता मरीचि मुख्या मुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तमधर्मे कृतमतिम् विलोक्यं पितरं सुताः चिमुख्यामुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् माताजि लोक्यं पितरं सुता मरीचि मुख्या मुनयो विश्रम्भात् प्रत्यबोधयन् तम् अन्टु हिम् अधर्मे इन् द मैटर् ऑफ इम्मोरालिटी कृतमतिम् the mind being so given Vilokya, seeing thus, Pitaram, unto the father, Sutaha, sons, Marichi Mukhya, headed by Marichi, Munayaha, sages, Vishrambhat, with due respect, Pratyabodhayan, submitted as follows. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravind Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus, finding their father so deluded in an act of immorality, the sages, headed by Marichi, all sons of Brahma, spoke as follows with great respect. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The sages like Marichi were not in the wrong in submitting their protests against the acts of their great father. They knew very well that even though their father committed a mistake, there must have been some great purpose behind the show. Otherwise, such a great personality could not have committed such a mistake. It might be that Brahma wanted to warn his subordinates about human frailties in their dealings with women. This is always very dangerous for persons who are on the path of self-realization. Therefore, great personalities like Brahma, even when in the wrong, should not be neglected, nor could the great sages headed by Marichi show any disrespect because of his extraordinary behavior. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tamadharme Kritamatim Vilokya Pitaram Sutaha Marichi Mukhya Munayo Vishrambhat Pratyabodhayan. Thus, finding their father so deluded in an act of immorality, the sages headed by Marichi, all sons of Brahma, spoke as follows with great respect. So here what we are seeing is very bewildering topic, astonishing for those who are not highly advanced in the spiritual knowledge, how the great personality such as Lord Brahma, he is acting deluded. He is the first created being and he is supposed to act in the most moral, in the perfect way. Especially, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat eva itarojana. All the ordinary common people follow the acts of the leader. So here, Lord Brahma, he created a daughter a female was born from his body, and he himself got attracted towards her with lusty propensities, and he wanted to chase her. But such act was immediately, you know, criticized, but with great respect, by his sons, the great rishis and the great munis, headed by Marichi. So how do we understand this entire episode of Lord Brahma, he himself being bewildered? Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that there must be some reason for such a great show. Lord Brahma is not some common, ordinary psychopath that he is trying to, you know, do some nonsense. Lord Brahma is highly elevated. He is actually the founder, acharya of the entire sampradaya. Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya is beginning from him. He is direct son of Lord Vishnu. He has come from the lotus navel of Lord Vishnu. Such a great personality, but sometimes may act bewildered in order for all the others to realize or to, you know, give some lesson to make others realize how strong the lust can be. And like Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, to teach others about frailties, about such intense attraction between man and woman, and how dangerous it can be. Lord Brahma is trying to teach all of his sons. That's what it appears. Similar episode can also be seen when Lord Shiva saw Mohini, Murti. When Lord Vishnu, he was the mediator at the time of churning of the milk ocean. On one side there was demigods, on one side there were demons. And for a change, they decided to, you know, work together to churn the milk ocean and get nice, you know, a lot of nice precious jewels, a lot of nice things will come out. And they decided we will share equally. So Lord Vishnu was seeing that these demons are criminal minded by nature, and demigods are very saintly by nature. So when the churning of the ocean was happening, when the nectar came out, the demons immediately wanted to steal it. And the demigods, they're like police. They don't want the criminals to get the most precious thing, like nectar. So there was this tussle. Who is going to get it? So Lord Vishnu, by his great potency, he assumed the form of most beautiful woman in the entire creation. He became the most beautiful, you know, female that one can even imagine. And that Mohini, when she appeared, everybody agreed. Whatever you say, that's perfect. You just order us. I mean, you can imagine the kind of beauty that he showcased, that everyone surrendered immediately. Whatever Mohini says, she is our leader. And nobody even knew Mohini until yesterday. You just met her. So this is the power of Lord Vishnu's, Lord Krishna's illusory energy. And when all the episode, as we know, that how Mohini cheated the demons, the criminal-minded demons, and gave all the nectar to saintly demigods. And we know how, when later on, Lord Shiva, he heard the glories of the beauty of Mohini Murti, he wanted to see. That time, Lord Vishnu, he warned Lord Shiva. He said, look, I know you are a great, great personality, but Mohini Murti, my female form, is really, really extremely powerful. Lord Shiva really wanted to see. So, after reading the statutory warning, Lord Shiva still wanted to see. So, Lord Vishnu shows that form of Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti starts to smile, you know, make some gestures, feminine, you know, movements. And Lord Shiva is completely sold out. He's completely bewildered. And in this regard, many of our acharyas comment that Lord Shiva is not lusty at all because he doesn't have lust in his heart. But he was so much in love with Lord Vishnu and especially Mohini's beauty that he started to feel agitated and he started to follow Mohini. And Mohini, she started to walk in the assembly where great, great followers of Lord Shiva were sitting. And all the followers of Lord Shiva, they are like, Lord Shiva is the greatest sage. He's the most self-controlled, the most sense-controlled personality that ever exists. And they are completely, you know, performing Lord Shiva's glorification. And then they see one lady dancing by. And our great master Lord Shiva is, without caring for anything, following her, just like a madman, you know, infested by lust. And it happened so that even the clothes of Lord Shiva started falling off, but he didn't care. He was completely, you know, so much attracted by the beauty of Mohini. And as we know in that episode also, how it's bewildering to understand how Lord Shiva acted, which appears, why would he have to act in this fashion? But there are, you know, when great personalities behave in a certain fashion, it's with some great purpose. For example, Lord Shiva, in this case, he wanted to establish the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. He actually wanted all his so-called followers to understand that he is not the ultimate supreme being. He himself wanted to establish the glorious supreme position of Lord Vishnu. So that's why he didn't care when he was actually, you know, being taken by Mohini amongst his followers. Lord Shiva cared nothing at all because he is Vaishnavanam Yathashambho. He's the most humble, you know. Somebody would have said that, hey, Lord Vishnu, it's too much. Why do you have to, you know, walk amongst my followers? You are humiliating me. But no, Lord Shiva did not care. He's completely surrendered to Lord Vishnu. Whatever he wants to perform, he's completely there as a completely surrendered personality. So here we understand the glorious surrendered attitude of Lord Shiva. Also understand how Lord Vishnu is supreme, and it is also established by Lord Shiva. And such great personalities, sometimes they bewilder so-called ordinary souls, ordinary personalities. But if we understand the nature, if we understand the very inconceivable activities of Vaishnavas especially, then we will realize it's very hard to comprehend actions of a pure soul, of a pure Vaishnava. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vidnehana bujaya. It's very, very, very difficult to understand the actions or the words. Vaishnavir, tara vakya kriya mudra. You know, the statements made by a Vaishnava. His actions and his behavior. Three things, as mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami, are very difficult to be understood by Vidneha. Highly intelligent person. What to speak of us. Even great, great, highly learned scholars cannot understand the behavior of a Vaishnava. Here, the same situation is there, that Lord Brahma is acting bewildered and he is very superior. How can someone inferior, how can someone subordinate try to correct Lord Shiva or try to correct Lord Brahma? You know, subordinates, they're supposed to follow. So that's the big dilemma, and Srila Prabhupada very nicely mentions that the sages headed by Marichi did that with respect. They did not criticize, hey, what are you doing, Brahma, come on. You know, we know that you are our father, but this is so too much, we can't see this. No, they were very humble and they did it with great respect. Because there is the etiquette that also needs to be followed, and which was followed by Marichi and all the sages. And the similar type of incident that we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the great disciple of Madhavendra Puri, you know, Ramachandra Puri, he was very famous. He came to Jagannath Puri one time and he started associating with the disciples and all the followers of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everyone in the beginning was so happy that, wow, we have the disciple of Madhavendra Puri amongst us. Madhavendra Puri is like the most prominent acharya of that time. And his disciples are all like great, great personalities. All his disciples, Paramananda Puri, Ishwar Puri. Ishwar Puri became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his followers, they saw Ramachandra Puri on the same level as their spiritual master, because he is the god brother of spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu always respected him. So one time when Jagadananda Pandit invited Ramachandra Puri, come and eat with me in my home. Ramachandra Puri was very happy. He said, okay. And when Ramachandra Puri was, you know, seated down nicely and Jagadananda Pandit is serving him very nicely. Okay, take some rice. Here is sweet sabji, salty sabji, sweets and dal. So many different items were prepared. That time, when Ramachandra Puri starts eating, he starts eating with two hands. He starts eating like so fast. And he's like, give me more. Bring more rice. Bring more dal. Bring more sabji. Put more dal. Bring more sweets. And Jagannath Pandit is running. And he is thinking that it's very nice that he is eating the remnants, prasadam of Jagannath. So he is very happily serving. But when he was fully satisfied, Ramachandra Puri says, now I have a request. You sit down. Let me serve you. Then he's like, no. How can I do that? No. You are superior to me. It's fine. I'll eat later. But then Ramachandra Puri says, no, you sit down. I insist. When Jagadananda Pandit sits down, then Ramachandra Puri wants to feed him more than he could take. He's saying, no, I can't take this much. I can't take this much dal. I can't take this much of sabji. I'm full. I don't want it anymore. But Jagadananda Pandit, no, these are remnants. These are Mahaprasad of Jagannath. How can you say no? Eat more. Eat more. Eat more. He's feeding more and more and more. And then when finally Jagadananda Pandit is, I'm done. I can't take any more. That time, Ramachandra Puri says, I had heard that the disciples and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate too much. And I saw it with my own eyes now. This is not proper. And then Jagadananda Pandit is like, you're the one who fed me. I was saying enough. But then slowly the devotees in Jagannath Puri started to understand the critical nature of Ramachandra Puri. And sometimes he would go in the house of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would go and inspect on the floor, you know, very closely, look if there is anything that he could find a fault in Mahaprabhu. And one time he found some ants. Now, in India, ants are everywhere. Ants is not something you find. They're everywhere. You don't need to find. So, when he found some ants, he immediately started shouting at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hey, ants, if there are ants in your kutir, that means you are eating sweets. You are hiding and you are eating sweets from everyone. That means you are not a good sannyasi. You should not be eating more than necessary. I have been hearing all of you eat so much. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, I will eat only half of my quota from now. And then all the devotees were heartbroken. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, every day would go and visit some householders. He would accept invitations from different householders. And it was the best service. It was the most heartwarming service for all the devotees to feed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the same Jagannath that eats big, you know, mountains of rice and dal, the same Jagannath has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there is a direct service possible for all the devotees to feed him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, after hearing the criticism, he said, I will not eat. I will only eat very little. And that was heartbreaking for all the devotees of Mahaprabhu, including Paramanand Puri. And Paramanand Puri also tried to tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, my god brother, Ramachandra Puri, don't worry about him. He disobeyed our spiritual master and that's why he has become like this. When our spiritual master Madhavendra Puri was on his deathbed, he was crying the tears of separation from Krishna. And looking at that, this fool started telling our guru that, oh Guru Maharaj, don't cry. You know, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati. The great personalities do not lament. Why are you crying? Think of Brahman. Think of impersonal Brahman. That is ultimate. That is the supreme. And Madhavendra Puri is thinking, what the hell is happening here? My disciple at the time of, you know, I am here about to quit my body. And he is telling me that supreme absolute truth is impersonal. He told him, get out of here right now. And that, because of that offense, Ramachandra Puri became so critical. And he would criticize all the devotees in Jagannath Puri. So much that devotees started to come to the deities of Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. And they started to pray that somehow please take away Ramachandra Puri. Take away from here. Because we cannot see that Lord Mahaprabhu is not eating to his fullest satisfaction. Now, because of these constant prayers, you know, finally Mahaprabhu, you know, Jagannath Ji, he answered the prayers. Because he was criticizing so much everyone and everybody still respected him because out of etiquette. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when was criticized, sometimes he would ignore. But he would never say no. He would never disobey or he would never criticize back. So he was always following the social etiquette. And we can learn the same from the behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That sometimes seniors, even if in our idea, even if we think that the seniors are being too much, we cannot take this, still we have to, you know, keep the boundary. We have to keep the social etiquette and we have to keep the respect. The respect is very important because when the respect is maintained, then Krishna becomes very happy. Krishna became satisfied. So when Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, they were seeing that despite all these criticism, the devotees are very nicely tolerating. Then Jagannath and Baladev Subhadra, they blessed the devotees with their prayer. And then one day Ramachandra Puri woke up and he thought, I am a sannyasi. What am I doing at this place? I should not stay at one place, you know, for so long. Sannyasis don't live. So this inspiration was given by Jagannath Ji from within his heart. And he thought, I am a sannyasi. I must get out of here. And he left. And then all the devotees came to know, oh, finally Ramachandra Puri is gone. They started jumping and dancing. And then they decided, we are going to celebrate this occasion by making a big feast. Now we can eat to our heart's full satisfaction. So we understand that how sometimes, you know, the situation could become a little difficult. And living in the society of so many devotees and there are so many seniors, juniors. And that's why we have to understand how we should act with etiquettes. When Narad Muni told Dhruva Maharaj, Gunadhikam udam lipset anukrosham gunadhamat maitri samantat anviche na tapair abhibhuyate. Whenever you see somebody who is superior to you in terms of qualities, then you should approach him with humility. You should learn from him. Give him respect. And when you see somebody of equal nature, when somebody is of equal stature, maitri samanta anveche, then you become friends with your equals. And somebody who is less fortunate, who is, you know, not on the same platform, who is still struggling in the spiritual life, such person should be dealt with compassion. So Narad Muni is saying, whenever you find these things, this is how we should segregate, we should behave according to these basic principles. And he says, these are the best principles of conflict avoidance. So there will na tapai rabi bhuyate. There won't be stress in your life or in the society if we follow these three principles. Especially this episode also talks very much about lust within the heart. Rudi kamo. In a previous verse we heard, the lust resides in the heart of the person. And the same lust that resides in the heart can be converted into love for Krishna, love for spiritual master. That is very important because it's a disease of heart. Srila Prabhupada, he was talking to Lieutenant David Mosey of Chicago Police Department. He came, you know, great personality, Chicago Police Department. He came to talk to Srila Prabhupada, hearing Prabhupada's glories that, oh, this great personality, he can give some guidance about how to reduce the crime rate in our area. So he came with the questions. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that when he asked, this David Mosey asked, how can we reduce the crime in the society? Srila Prabhupada says, the crime is existing because of the disease of the heart, the disease of lust and greed. Because of this disease, there are criminals and there are regular citizens. You know, this separation is because of that disease. So Srila Prabhupada says, there cannot be peace until and unless we cure the disease of heart, the disease of lust. Because if, Srila Prabhupada says that if somebody has this disease of lust and greed, that means the people are on the platform of cats and dogs, on the platform of animals. So Prabhupada says, if you put a dozen of dogs in one room, can there be peace? There cannot be peace because the 12 dogs are constantly going to fight with each other. Why? Because they are on the animal platform. They are full of the disease of heart. So Srila Prabhupada says that unless and until we cure the disease of heart by spreading the Hare Krishna movement, by making the devotees come together, by bringing the people together and by giving them the holy names of Krishna and by making them eat the remnants of prasadam that is offered to Krishna, this disease of heart will not be cured. And unless and until that is cured, these criminal propensities are not going to go away. So this we understand how the lust in the heart is very intense. The whole world is affected by this lust. Especially today is the Valentine's Day. What better day than today to understand the problem, the disease of lust. Today, so many people are getting ready. You know, they are preparing, bringing flowers. They are buying chocolates, you know, wrapping a present just to give to their sweetheart. And they are thinking that this is going to be the best day of my life, because they think they will find the true love of their life today. But we understand from the path of knowledge, from the science of self-realization, and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that we understand that this lust, the so-called love in the material world, cannot really satisfy the quench, the thirst of heart. The heart really is craving for true love. The heart wants the eternal love. The eternal love can be obtained by an eternal object. Right? If you want eternal love, it should be given by an eternal object and has to be returned, has to be received by eternal object. A temporary body cannot provide eternal love. Two temporary bodies coming together and saying that we're going to have eternal true love, it doesn't sound perfect, because true love or real love has to last. Just like if a boy and girl, they get together, and after 1 week we hear they are broke, they broke up. What do we say? You know, it was not true love. Why? Because true love, the definition is, it has to last. Something that lasts forever. Just like we see that the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, the disciples, they went through so many difficult situations just to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he went to Russia and he was distributing books of Srila Prabhupada just to bring a little smile on Srila Prabhupada's face. He went through so much, and just like him, so many devotees have gone through so many difficulties in order to just give little happiness to Srila Prabhupada. And when Srila Prabhupada in 1977 was very weak, very fragile, he was sick, and at that time he would tell Tamal Krishna Maharaj that, I do not feel like eating, I do not want to eat at all, please don't bring me anything. And then everybody would become heartbroken. Srila Prabhupada is not eating, how can we eat? Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped eating, all the devotees were heartbroken in Jagannath Puri. Srila Prabhupada, when he was not eating, the only thing that would encourage, that would bring back hunger to Srila Prabhupada was the book scores or the letters that were sent by Ghanashyam Das. That was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj would read all the letters and the book scores, and Srila Prabhupada would have a big smile on his face. And he would say, bring me my prasadam. It was with so much of happiness. And that was the happy moment for everyone. Everyone would be like, Jai Srila Prabhupada, we're going to do more. We're going to distribute more books. And we're going to give pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. That was the only aim of all these devotees. So the real happiness or the real love that can be found in this world is only by serving the spiritual master. When we are serving the spiritual master, we are accessing the true love that comes from Krishna down to each and every living entity. The true love exists from Krishna to all the living entities, or from the spiritual master to all the disciples. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada had no business to come to America. Srila Prabhupada came to America because he loved each one of us so much that he could not stay in Vrindavan. He wanted to see everyone happy, everyone smiling. So that's why Srila Prabhupada even came with so much of difficulty. So we should reciprocate that love with our love of servitorship. We should serve the spiritual master. We should serve Srila Prabhupada. And the mission of Srila Prabhupada, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in such a fashion that we are reciprocating with that eternal true love that is all that is being bestowed upon us. And with that we can make our life successful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has any question? Any questions?
Sweet note. I'm reluctant to ask the question, but with the subject matter of when there is someone regarded at least as an exalted personality, when there's that sense of deviation, like there's a somewhat famous example in New York. There was a temple president in GBC, and he was deluded in thinking someone was very important heiress or something, and then his behavior became so inconsistent with that of the standard devotee. And then when Srila Prabhupada came to understand what had happened, everyone said, oh, he was GBC and temple president, and we were just, and he, my understanding of Srila Prabhupada's response is he was just like, any common devotee would understand this is not you know, appropriate behavior, and yet no one, you know, took any action. And so I'm just trying to reconcile, I guess.
There are two sides to this point.
Do we just pray to the deity only and then, you know, wait for something to occur in the heart? Or
see, in this verse, it's very important how the verses are also written in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why the more deeper we go, we understand more. It says that the sages headed by Marichi. So what happened is there were so many sages. Like there must be like thousands. So thousands of people did not criticize Brahma. What happened is those thousands had a leader, Marichi. So Marichi is the one who is protesting. Or some, you know, great personalities, only a few of them. So what we understand from such example in Bhagavatam is that when such situations arise, you know, we have to go to the leader and go to the right personalities, you know, and seek the guidance, and action must be taken through them. Because sometimes, like we understand, like, you know, Vaishnavari Kriya Mudra, maybe we are not understanding, but there are superiors, there are much, much more advanced people. You know, there is temple president and there are GBCs, you know, there are so many personalities. We can go through that channel and then we can understand, and also then they will rectify the situation. That's actually better. Or if immediate action is needed, then it's better to do it with utmost respect without crossing the ethics.
Yes,
just as far as that incident goes that he was referring to, I was there at that time, so was Archie, we were in the temple at the time. And what I remember was being told that Prabhupada wasn't upset with the rank and file devotees. He actually, I can't quote anything, but he made some comment to the effect that, yeah, they did the right thing. They just, you know, they followed. And but he said he was upset with the leaders. He said, but you know, there were certain devotees that were kind of leaders. He said, you should have, you know, known better and done something. Mm. So Prabhupada was not upset with the rank. If Archit is still back there, I don't know if he's back there. Somebody knows not. Yeah, that's how I remember it. Mm. So just interesting point. But the etiquette, you know, Prabhupada wasn't upset with the rank and file, but the leaders, yeah.
Also, we can see from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is saying, fight against Drona. You know, Arjuna is much, much smaller and he's a student. He's asking to fight against Drona, Bhishma, such great exalted personalities. But we have to understand, Arjuna would not fight until he was given that instruction by Supreme Lord. Because otherwise it would be very difficult. So this Bhagavad Gita, if would not have happened, Arjuna would not have fought. And that would have been the right thing to do. Because otherwise, there would have been so much of criticism. But now we understand that it's Krishna's desire. So Krishna is making it clear, the point, that the fight that has happened, Arjuna is fighting against great personalities, his own teacher, his grandfather. It is happening under the sanction of the Supreme Lord. You know, that's also very important to understand, that sometimes the instruction has to be given and then we should take action. Not Arjuna is straightforward fighting, punching his teacher and grandfather, like going crazy, on acting on the platform of the mind, you know, being angry. No, he's very calm, but he has been given that instruction. Then he is just acting as an instrument. That's very important to understand, that if we have that authority and instruction, and if it is the important thing to do, then we can take such action if, like, serious action is needed. Sachidana Prabhu. We'll stop after this.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very good explanations you gave. Obviously, when we talk about the sages, the way they handle it, the very culture, self-reliance, you can say it, so it was easy. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, we don't have the same set of structure. Like even our leaders, they're struggling, and they might not be in that level to self-realize. And obviously, they made mistakes. So now my question will be, what will be for the common people who sometimes go through the process and approach the authorities, they go to the GVCs and still they see that those things are not being solved. So then they become angry and they rationalize they're not intelligent. I think I'm intelligent. I'm seeing that and they don't see it. Mm. And we see that in the government tools and politics. You know, they go on big strikes and everything and they make the government shake sometimes. Sometimes works and sometimes, you know, by force. Mm. But in our spiritual organization here, what would be the advice or what would you, how do you say, encourage them, these devotees who are at that level who want to see something done but at the same time not committing offenses?
Yeah, that's why it's very difficult. It's like a very thin line there. So it's very, one has to be very careful dealing with such situations. But we have so many examples from our scriptures. And one such example we read in today's verse, we also heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he treated, you know, the seniors. He, sometimes he heard the instruction of Ramachandra Puri and he followed. But at other times when he was giving wrong instructions, Mahaprabhu just ignored. But he did not say yes, he did not say no. But he just kept quiet. You know, so he did not disobey, he did not follow. But he sometimes there is a middle path that needs to be found out. And, you know, it also, like in today's world, we see how the structure is. One officer of police department committing a crime doesn't make the entire police department criminal. You know, there are bad seeds, bad fruits everywhere. But we understand from that point that, you know, one GBC or one leader has done something, one guru fell down, doesn't make all the entire system of, you know, that system is working for millions of years. You know, this system is not new. So it's been working for millions of years. So we should trust the system and we should still keep on finding the best police officers, you know, the best personalities. And there are best personalities, especially in our temple. We can always go to Sawas Prabhu for guidance. We can get, you know, practical level guidance. We can get from Bhrigupati Prabhu is there always. Archita Prabhu is there. You know, Rabindranath Prabhu, we can talk. And these devotees are very approachable. That's a really great thing for us, that we can learn a lot of things. And they don't have attitude, anything. Like, they're always there to guide and help. So that's, I think, the best deal for all of us. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.